Matthew 9, chapters 27 through 31. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "I have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came out, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See, no one knows about this." But they went on and spread out the news all over him and all over that region.
On the Sunday before school starts, there are a lot of people around you, or maybe right there in your home, that are feeling a lot of stress. I heard someone recently call this the COVID coaster. Think of a roller coaster, but it's taking you through this COVID experience. Day one, we're all doing well. We're getting in our cars. You know, out we go. And then we realize there's an uphill climb to this thing. And as we get up to the very top of that hill, we realize day two, the bottom is coming out. We are plummeting over that hill, and we're sort of at first smiling and holding our hands up, but pretty soon it's terror and we're holding on for dear life, and we can see the bottom drop out into a pool of anxiety at the top, and it pulls out and comes up. And then day three, we go through a rollicking set of twists and turns as we learn the latest details about changes to work, changes to school, family events that are canceled, other things that are happening. And just when we think our head's going to come off, it gets steady and slows down a little bit. But all of a sudden, we find that the rails whisk us into a curve of depression and fear. And then on day five, we experience the emotional whiplash as we do the anxiety to the personal bravery talk, loop to loop. And you go over and over, only to come out at the end of the COVID tracks to realize it's a loop, and the person that was supposed to be running this ride has walked away from their station, and you're back into it again. That's what they say the COVID coaster is. Maybe you've had some of that going on in your life. Maybe you found yourself sort of up and down here and there, a little bit more reactive sometimes, sometimes doing really well though. Sometimes thinking, you know what? I'm taking a few more walks. I'm spending more time with my family. Well, wherever you are today, I want you to think about the fact that God is listening to you. God hears your prayers. And whether you're praying for yourself or whether you're praying for people around you that you love, God's listening. Now, I say that because in the scripture passage this morning in Matthew 9, we have two men who are blind. And those two men are looking for some answers to prayer. And they've apparently heard that Jesus of Nazareth is coming through. They've heard that he is a powerful rabbi who can do miracles. And rather than letting that opportunity go past, they begin to cry out when they hear he's close by, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And again they cry, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And they cry out again and again because they're trying to get the Lord's attention. I wonder if maybe you've been doing that lately. I'm sure you've done it other times in your life. I know I have. We pray, and eventually our prayer becomes so disconcerted because we're not hearing the answers we want, or we're not really feeling like we're hearing an answer at all. And so we cry out all the louder, with all the greater urgency, "God, hear my prayer." And can we just speak honestly for a moment? Just think honestly for a moment. Are you sometimes worried that maybe God doesn't hear your prayer? Are you sometimes feeling like you're doing all the calling out, but maybe God's not listening? That's what I want to talk to you about today. What I want you to know is that Jesus demonstrates in the text that you just heard that when people cry out, God is listening. God cares about you the same way Jesus cared about the two men that were born blind. It's different when you have an urgency, isn't it? See, a lot of people were milling around Jesus that day. A lot of people that day, frankly, wouldn't have bothered Jesus, because right before he interacts with these two men who are blind, he has just healed a young girl that people thought was dead. I mean, the funeral procession was already there. The mourners were in her room. And Jesus said, go away. She's going to be okay. Let me handle this. Now, frankly, if a man comes out and this young girl comes out with him and he's healed her, and the parents are ecstatic and the crowd's ecstatic, and you can imagine how excited everybody would be. Is anybody going to then say, hey, Jesus, could you do one more thing before you go? Some of you right now who are listening to this and watching this are the type of people who have a hard time praying because you just feel this sense that your problems aren't as big as anybody else's. You know, I know other people have it really bad. I have people who say this to me. You know, I'd ask you to pray for me, but I know other people have it worse than me. Well, friends, there's always someone who has it worse than you and always someone who has worse than me. And yet God cares about you and God cares about me too. And God cares about all the people that may have it worse or better or different. Jesus listens. That's what this text shows. And in fact, notice what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't walk out and say, hey, I don't have time for anybody else. I've just healed this girl. Like, isn't that enough? Now, these two men are persistent. They're blind. They want to be changed. They want to be transformed and gain vision. And you can imagine the urgency they felt when they thought that might even be possible in their lifetime in a place and a time where there's very little medical care. And so not only do they cry out, they find a way to follow Jesus into a place where he's gone. And they cry out again, have mercy on us, Son of David. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you've gotten to a place of urgency where you no longer think, you know what, other people have it worse. Maybe you're like, no, I need help. And I need help right now. Or probably it's somebody you love or a situation that you're concerned about. That's called intercessory prayer, when we pray for others. Well, whether it's you or someone else, again, I want you to know that when we pray, God listens. So whether that's a friend or a spouse or a parent, or maybe you're looking for direction in your life right now. Maybe you're looking for a job because things are getting tight. Maybe just the effect of this COVID, that roller coaster that we've all been on, and you're finding yourself too reactive or too prone to really bad habits that would be destructive if you got into them. And you're saying, God, help me. What I want you to know is that God listens, and there's a unique way that God often speaks to us. Many of us are wishing that God would just, you know, speak in the voice and talk to us. And if you've got that experience, I think that's great. I sometimes experience what I feel are the inclinations of God. Sometimes I feel that I get a sense that God is with me and speaking and communicating with me, but it's not a verbal introduction. It's not a speech. It's just sort of, I'm in the right space. But I'll tell you a place where I find that God speaks clearly to me, and it's right here. It's in the Bible. You know, today we're going to be giving out Bibles to third graders in the parking lot this afternoon to those that are willing to come up to the church parking lot. It's all going to be outside, and we're, because of the physical distance, I may or may not be using a 10-foot fishing pole. The clergy will all have these. But the point is, it's going to be a fun way to distribute Bibles to all of our students who are in the third grade. You know, it's a big deal. In fact, the pastors here at Florist will sign their Bibles. We'll put our favorite Bible verse in there. And try to encourage them in that way. And we'll encourage them one by one to not only have the Bible, but to open and read it. But what I want to say to you is, if you're somebody who wishes God would speak to you more, if you're someone who wishes, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could be like one of those men that was blind and Jesus actually looked at that person and spoke right into his need? I want you to know that God does that. And this book, which is really a set of 66 books, authored centuries ago, still speaks to us today. It speaks to us all the time. It's really remarkable what you can discover when you begin to open a Bible and read it. You know, if you go in and look at the history portion of the Bible, you're going to meet men and women who are just like you. They're not perfect. They're flawed. Many of them want to do more for God. They want to give their life to God faithfully. But some of them just have real serious problems. Real people are in this Bible. Maybe you open here and you find the Psalms. You know, I think about times when I've read the Psalms and they have just been a source of comfort to me. The poetry of the Psalms speaks to me. Sometimes if I'm excited and I'm like, you know what, praise God for the good things that are happening in our life. But sometimes when I'm down here and I say, you know what, God, I feel like you're not even there. The highs and the lows of emotions are in the Psalms. But you have to read them to see how people in the past express their prayers, talk to God in honest ways. I love the Proverbs. You know, sometimes we don't need a particular answer to a particular problem. What we need is a word of wisdom that'll help us with almost any problem. That's what the Proverbs do. They just remind us of good sense. They remind us of wise things. I go into the prophets sometimes when I'm feeling like the world is so full of injustice and I am so bothered by something I see out in the larger world and I want to speak to it. I go to the prophets sometimes because they remind me that my desire to see justice is a godly, righteous desire. And it speaks to me. And I feel God telling me, you know what? It's okay that you feel that way. My goodness, when I go into the Gospels, the four Gospels, I see the beautiful life of Jesus. It's for me sort of a high mark in the scripture as a whole to read about the life and teaching of Jesus. And there's hardly ever a time that I read about Jesus that I don't feel like I'm right there. And you know, the old hymn, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And maybe it's not quite that close, but I can really feel connected to the teaching of Christ when I read it. And then in the epistles of Paul, I find that as I go into those letters, and not just Paul, but all the epistles that are there, they're letters to the early church, and they remind me that living a Christian is not simplistic. It's not overly complicated, but it's sometimes tough. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered. There are people that have struggled with it before, and there are people that have lived in community together doing that. The daily reading of the Bible is a powerful way to feel the connection that comes when you want to know, is God listening? And I'm amazed, if you choose a book of the Bible and just begin to read it every day, read a chapter a day, just read through it, read a psalm a day, read a proverb a day, if you begin to read through the scripture, it's amazing how many times where you pick up the Bible or a daily devotion, and you found this to be the case, haven't you? It's just the right word for that day. It's just the thing I needed to hear. And sometimes I won't know it when I read it, but later in the day something will happen and I'll remember, you know what, I've already been prepared for this moment. I don't think the Bible is magic, but I do believe God uses it. I believe God uses it to speak to our lives in tangible ways and to give us direction. And you know, I found that it's never been easier. This is my cell phone. And I have a couple of applications that I use, and we're going to put those up on the screen so you can see them. And one of them is the YouVersion Bible app. Another is Bible Gateway. And those applications are not only here on my phone so that I can do this anytime I want, but they also have an audio file. And you can open up the audio file, and sometimes when I'm preparing for my day in the morning, if I'm walking around and getting things together, I'll turn on that audio file and I'll listen to a chapter of one of the epistles or one of the Gospels or one of the Psalms. So I find almost anywhere I have access to the Holy Scripture in ways that really no one ever in the history of humanity has had this much access. It's written, it's verbal. Any way you want to do this, you can do it. Now, I say all that because here's the weird thing. People say that they want to read the Bible. In fact, the Barna Group went out and did a survey, and they found that in the general American population, 62% of the people say, I would love to understand more about the Bible. Then they surveyed Christians, and they found that 87% of people who attend church would like to understand the Bible better. But here's something else they discovered. Fewer people are reading the Bible today than were reading it 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. In fact, According to the Barna Group, recent studies demonstrate that in one generation, the number of occasional Bible readers has fallen by 20%. Those are people that'll just read it occasionally. That's the equivalent of 700 people a day in America closing their Bible, setting it aside, and not opening it. I say that because isn't it interesting that it's more accessible than it's ever been, and yet we're reading it less, and at the same moment we're thinking this: does God hear my prayers? Is God listening? Why doesn't God speak? I want to call you this Sunday, I want to call you today, along with our third graders, to pull your Bible out. And I want to do that because many of you have registered to me that you're feeling lonely, stressed, agitated. Sometimes you're feeling a little angry and intemperate. You're registering the same thing I'm registering, that our lives have been so turned upside down in every area by COVID, and we're also in an election year. That's never easy in America. And so, friends, what I want to say is, rather than just experiencing the pressure, holding on for dear life on that COVID coaster, why don't we begin and end our days, or find a time during the day that we actually open up the Bible and find its wisdom and find its truth? I think that if you would engage in a serious practice of daily Bible reading, and friends, it can be a chapter a day, and that's about 5 minutes. 5 minutes, think about that. If you would engage in a Bible reading plan, which you can find through those two apps that I just gave you, if you would engage in some level of commitment, you would find that the Bible sometimes speaks to us loudly. I mean, loudly. You know what? Ten Commandments. Get these right. You're going to be, a whole lot of problems go away when you just get the Ten Commandments right. Sometimes it speaks to us loudly in ways about warning us things not to do, or telling us, here's the good life you want. Here's the life that is a life. And it describes to you how to get it. It speaks so loudly that Mark Twain, who was no deep believer, Mark Twain said, "I am not troubled by the things in the Bible which I do not understand, but I am troubled by the things which I do understand and which I find very difficult to measure up to." Well, what Mark Twain understood is this: he may not have understood the whole Bible, but there were significant portions that were crystal clear. And those portions speak to us loudly, but I'll tell you this, the Bible also speaks to me some days softly. It's like Elijah out in the wilderness when he was so down and his whole life had been turned upside down, and the Lord came to him first as a still small voice. A still small voice, that's what got his attention. I find that the Bible sometimes whispers the phrases to me that I need to hear. It reminds me that I'm loved. It reminds you, it's going to remind you that you're not alone, that you're forgiven, that you're blessed. It's going to remind you that God cares for you. It's going to remind you that you're in community with other people. It's going to remind you of the gentle ways that God wants you to undertake to show your love and your compassion and your kindness to the people around you. And in so doing, you'll change everything in your home, at work, and in your neighborhood. That's what the Bible does. That's why it's powerful. As we listen, Jesus answers that question that's there in verse 38. The question that he asked these two men who were blind, when they came to him and said, "Son of David, you know, have mercy on us." And then Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe that I can do this?" And friends, when we give the Bible to a third grader, here's what I know. Some of them may think this is a good luck charm, that if they have it in their room or on their bedside or hold it, that they're going to get something out of it. But the parents who are really connected to the discipleship of their children are helping their children do the most important thing, opening the Bible, creating a little plan, you know, like, hey, let's read the Gospel of Luke. We'll read a chapter a night before you go to bed. And they're reading it together, or they're encouraging their child to begin to read it, so that the Word of God becomes alive and active. Now, when the two men said, "Yes, I do believe you can do this, Jesus," in verse 29 it says, "And their sight was restored." And their sight was restored. Now, I want to say that when I read the scripture, I find that I get a new vision on the world as well. No longer do I operate out of selfishness or self-motives. I tend to see the world and the people in it through the vision of the kingdom of God. And rather than walking in and thinking, "What do I want?" I am far more likely to walk into a situation or a conversation and think, "What would God have me do right here and right now?" You know, just the other day I made a to-do list. It was really good too. It was a very effective to-do list. And by 3 o'clock, I had not checked off one item. And I stopped in the middle of the day and I said, "Lord, it is obvious that you had a to-do list for me and I had a to-do list, and I'm surrendering mine and I'm joyfully doing yours." That only happened because during that day, I had a moment where I read scripture and I reminded myself of who the servant is and who the Lord is. That's what the Bible does for your vision. It really changes everything. It's like the Apostle Paul wrote, finally, he said, brothers — I'm going to add sisters, I think Paul was speaking inclusively in most cases — finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's often what happens when I open the Bible. I begin to think about the excellent things. And that gives me a sense that God is speaking to me, that God is knowledgeable of me, that I am a child of God. And you know what? Right now, there are days where that makes the difference between feeling calm and in control and it's going to be okay, and feeling anxious and fearful, like everything's out of control. That's why the Bible's important. And friends, I want to say it is more important now than it's ever been. So I'm inviting you today to do something. I'm inviting you to pick up a Bible like this, or to find a Bible on a device like this, whether it's your phone or a tablet or a computer. Those websites are available, those apps are available, and open it up, and I want to invite you to begin reading a minimum of a chapter a day during the month of September. Start now and go all the way through the month of September and build that habit. 21 days minimum is a habit. And just start doing that. Let's do it with our third graders. Let's begin to read and not think that just that group of students is going to be doing it, but we're all going to join in. And I don't care if you're older or younger or in between. I want to invite you to be a part of this. I'm going to give you 3 questions that you might consider as you read your Bible. You might jot these 3 questions down. They are going to be on this slide that you're going to be able to read, but just take these down. Here they are. Where in your reading do you find the scripture to be alive and active in your life? Where, when you read a chapter, where was that alive and active? Where did it speak to you? Second, what Bible promises do you find encouraging? What did God speak to you in that scripture that you thought, "Wow, that's something I needed to hear today"? Maybe it was that your sins are forgiven. Maybe it's that you're loved. Whatever it is. Third, are you finding God's calling to you to be challenging? Are you finding God's calling to be challenging or something that is easier in your life? The question that's on the slide I just looked at on this piece of paper is not properly written, but that's what I'm after. Are you finding it challenging? Are you finding it easy? Which is it, or in between? So I invite you to read a chapter a day. I invite you to open God's Word, and here's what I want you to know. You are beloved of God. Your prayers are heard, and God desires to find a new way to speak to you. And that's going to happen in the renewal of your personal devotional life as you open the Bible, read it, and receive a word from the Lord. I want to pray for you in that effort right now. Lord, I want to pray for everyone who receives this message that they would begin for a period of a minimum of 21 days, but I pray they'll do this for a month. that they would open their Bibles and to begin to read a chapter a day. They can choose the book. I pray that you'll lead them to that. Perhaps it's through the Psalms. Perhaps it's the Proverbs. Perhaps it's a gospel, a letter. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you'll help them find the right literature for their lives at the right time. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.